Finally, after we develop the meditation, we will come to understand that Sakkayaditi or self-delusion is a very, very powerful delusion. Because during every moment of sense experience, like when we see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or think of something, the personality or the egoic mind will arise. There is Sakkayaditi or self-delusion. Then one will try to own things and possess things. This is how one becomes selfish. And selfishness is an evil root. This is how it arises, because of the Sakkayaditi that condition you to believe that you exist, you are real. So that's how the personality and the egoic mind arise, the ego. Similarly, because of this ego, one can also become jealous, angry, emotional, and fearful. And these are the other two evil roots of hatred and delusion, as they are all the roots of all evil. These three evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion, they are the root of all evil. This is the reason why when things do not go your way, and when you cannot get what you desire or want, you can become very unhappy, and you can also get angry and become emotional too. When confronted with the First Noble Truth realities, especially health problem or separation problem. Separation here means separation from your loved ones, separation from your wealth, your property, and your prized possession. The thought will project into the past and the future to condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your sadness, deep resentment, unhappiness, and misery, etc., leading to one's mental suffering. See that it is just a thought, not a reality at all. So how come it has such power to torment you and cause you so much suffering? And these thoughts are wrong thoughts. If they are not wrong thought, it cannot condition you into misery, suffering, negativity or mind state with the evil roots. Without wisdom, living being tends to be heedless, and through their own heedlessness and delusion, they create a lot of wrong thought that condition their misery and suffering. This is wrong view, conditioned by your self-delusion to grasp and cling onto the so-called problem in inverted commas, hence causing your fear, worry, anxiety, etc. Do see its impermanent characteristics and anatta nature. That is, it's just a thought which comes and goes, and it has no power over you. You are not deluded by it. So this brings me back to the analogy of how we look at our form and mind. Our form and mind is karmically conditioned out from our karmic nature for us to come to this conditioned world, this universe, to live life, to experience life, to go through karma and all the other things, to fulfill our vows, perfect ourselves, cultivate. So all this is what life is all about. So if you were to look at it clearly, then you realize this form and mind is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's just a karmically conditioned form and mind, dependent originating condition arising for us to arise. So our nature cannot arise because We need a vehicle and a tool like a form and mind, because our nature has nothing. He know you, he know me. It's not a being, it cannot come out and live life. It cannot take birth. So it need a vehicle and a tool. That's why it need karmic nature. And karmic nature can condition through that nature's law of form and mind. So when we understand this, we look at the form and mind, then we realize this one is a tool and a vehicle for us to come to this existential world, conditioned world, to live life, to exist, to do whatever we want to do, to experience life, to go through karma, everything. So it is just a tool and a vehicle. Don't attach, don't cling, don't grasp, then you won't suffer. This is understanding. This is wisdom. So if it's a vehicle, means like this body, the vehicle takes us around. So this body, we can walk around. That's why it can take us to places. We can board a train, aeroplane, or vehicle. Then we can move. Then the mind is a mental tool, T-O-O-L. The tool is to serve us, to help us to do things. Like a knife, as an analogy. We use a knife as a useful tool for us to cut fruits, shape fruits, carve things, or help us in whatever way we can with the knife. So this is the right way of using it. Yeah, it's a tool. But if we use that knife to cut ourselves, harm ourselves, hurt ourselves, or to kill ourselves and hit out at others, is that the correct way to use that tool? There is delusion in it. How can you use your tool, which is your knife, to do such negative things, to harm yourself, to hurt yourself, and to hit out at others? So understanding this, we reflect, contemplate, then we meditate and find out. The moment we arise wrong thought, we are actually using our thought to harm ourselves and kill ourselves. Because wrong thought condition all the negativity of mind state. Wrong thought condition our fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, our emotional negativity. Our selfishness, our emotional negativity, fear and doubt. And all these are the result of self-delusion, ignorance. So when you are in this mind state, what happened to you? You become miserable, afflicted. You have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So it can make you so miserable until you enter depression. With suicidal thought. So what are you doing? You are using the thought wrongly to arise the wrong thought to condition your suffering, your misery. Is to harm yourself, to hurt yourself, to kill yourself. See this very clearly. It's only a thought. How come it has such power? Without self-delusion, without ignorance, it will not happen that way. That's why we need to meditate, to train ourselves to be heedful, to be mindful, to be aware, to see and understand all this. Then we will never, never be deluded anymore. We will never be foolish anymore. If we know this teaching, we understand this truth. Nobody will use the thought that way to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others. It's just like that knife in particular. Will you do it? Use that knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and harm others. The law of karma will take its effect. And nobody is foolish enough to do that. With the knife, you can see. But when you use your thought wrongly to arise the wrong speech and wrong action and the wrong thought process, you can never see because you are mentally afflicted. Not physically, you didn't see the blood, the pain, the suffering, the physical misery. Mental suffering, living beings are not sensitive. A lot of them are caught in mental suffering, misery, in deep state of fear, sorrow, and lamentation. They are also caught in depression, the cocoon of thought, tormenting them, making them miserable, having sleepless nights. Insomnia. They can't sleep. They can't stop the thinking. They project their thought, and there is so much fear, worry, anxiety, and the same cocoon of negative thought develop the intensity of fear until you develop phobia, suicidal thought, and become miserable. And this is how depression sets in. You become very depressed, very emotional. So all this is the result of delusion, ignorance, lack of understanding. So when we understand the aspect is only a thought, then we know how to use the Dhamma to straighten our view and to arise the right thought. That's the reason why Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, starts with right view leading to right thought. If you have the right view, when your thought is right, or sorry, when your view is right, your thought will be right. So right thought will condition right speech and right action, because thought is the forerunner of all things. Like the Buddha say, our mind is a forerunner of all things. So thought is mundane mind. When mind arises, all things arise. So when you arise a thought, it will condition the way you act, the way you speak, the way you communicate. So right thought, right speech, right action, they are all related. Then if you understand the Noble Eightfold Path, you will know how to arise the four right effort to clean up your thought, action, and speech, to purify yourself. So this is how you cultivate. Then when you have right thought leading to right speech and right action, you will have right livelihood, born of right view. Then when you apply the four right effort, your Noble Eightfold Path will take off. You will be able to avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness. Then when you develop mindfulness, stabilize it to be ever mindful, leading to samadhi, you can see things as they are, awakened. Then with the understanding, it will protect your form and mind from being deluded. Then you will never fall again. Then you will never be deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness, the phenomenal world of form, and your five aggregate of form and mind. This is how the Dhamma liberates your mind. This is how you cultivate to free yourself. So all these are related to mindfulness, especially heedfulness. And all meditations start with training the mind to be aware, mindful, stabilizing it to be ever mindful, leading to heedfulness. So always remember that.